Psalm 51, Psalm 51. Figured I'd sing and preach. It's easier. We're having some technical difficulties this morning. Appreciate you being here to pray for Pastor and Miss Tanya. They're away on their 25th wedding anniversary. And I know they're having a good time in Mexico, down there where they sell real Coca-Cola. Hallelujah. Psalm 51. We're glad you're here this morning. Thank you. Glad to see the Johnsons here with us, our founding father. Helped us start Heritage Baptist Church, and we're glad they're here this morning. And I appreciate Brother Johnson, Miss Johnson, so much. And there's people in our lives that God puts there that they probably don't even know what an encouragement they've been to me, but I know they have been a great blessing to me and as well as our pastor. And so I'm very thankful for the Johnsons. Thank you all for being so kind to us. Psalm 51, we're going to do a two-part sermon on the road to revival. Revival starts next Sunday morning with Dr. Getch. And we're looking forward to revival. But as I've stated Wednesday night, is that there's always a preparation time before you do anything. And so we have to prepare for revival. That's why we have a prayer sheet back there that we're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. That means you get up and you pray for 15, 30 minutes, whatever you sign up for, and you pray specifically. Don't get up and pray, Lord, be with my knees. They sure do hurt this morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, okay? Let's try to skip that and go right into God. Heritage Baptist Church needs a revival. By the way, I believe this, and I'll probably say it later. I can't remember who said it. Well, somebody did. It was important. Is that we're either, I know who it was. It was Leonard Ravenhill said, we're either going to see revival or a funeral in our churches today. And that was written 30 years ago when he wrote that. And can I say I believe that? I believe we've seen a lot too many, I believe we've seen way too many funerals and not enough revivals. I'm telling you, there are churches that are dying out. Maybe they're not going down in numerical, but spiritually speaking, there are churches that are dead. There are churches that have not seen revival in years. And can I beg you and plead with you that we ought to go to God? By the way, the first step, the first road sign on the road to revival is getting on our knees and praying and asking God, because God is the only one that can bring revival. Dr. Getz from California cannot bring it. Pastor Crawford cannot bring revival. Jesus Christ and Him through the Holy Spirit working and through His Word is what's going to bring revival to Heritage Baptist Church. One of the most horrifying phrases I believe we can ever hear is, I don't need revival. Because I promise you, all of us do. From the preacher down to the pews, down to the children, we all need revival. So this morning we're going to deal with the road to revival. We'll talk about the first part of chapter 51. The second part, if you remember, Brother McCracken preached on the broken and contrite. And I was trying to get away from that because I didn't want you to think I was still in it. But God kept bringing me back here, and I do whatever the Lord tells me to. And so we're going to look at the whole chapter this morning. I want you to look with me, if you will, in Psalm 51 and verse 1. Here we see David, and we're going to discuss what's happening in David's life at this time according to 2 Samuel, and we'll look at that here in a little bit. But have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. By the way, that was all of us. Verse 6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with a hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquity. Let's go, Lord, prayer, then we'll preach on the subject, the road to revival. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for allowing us to open up your word this morning and to proclaim it. Father, I pray that You would get all glory, all honor. I pray that You, through Your power, through the Holy Spirit, that You would convict hearts today, that You would draw all men unto Yourself this morning. I pray as I lift up Christ that all men be drawn to Him. And I pray that they would see Him, Lord, high and lifted up above all. And Father, we're begging You for Your presence and Your power, not only this week, but God, in this revival meeting to come. Lord, we need it. We need a reviving of our soul, our spirit. God, I pray that You would give us that. Lord, we beg You for it. We ask You to bless today. And Lord, if there's one here that does not know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to just think about a few things. And there are churches on every corner. There are Bibles. Most of us have more than one Bible. There are preachers all over the world still preaching. And so I want to ask you this. So why are we not seeing revival? Why are we not? By the way, there's churches everywhere around here. There are Bibles. We have people in churches all over America that are hearing preaching today. And so what could be the problem why we're not seeing revival? All of us would agree one thing, that it's not God. Because God is all powerful at all times and all centuries and all generations. So God's just as powerful today as He was in the day of Moses. So it can't be a God problem. And so when it's not a God problem, which there's never a God problem, there's always a people problem. And I believe that we've come to a point in our society, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but where we glorify sin. I believe we live in a society today that applauds sin. I believe we live in a society that once used, things that used to make us sick to our very being, now is something that we watch on TV regularly. So what could be the problem why we're not seeing revival? Well, we're going to find out from David. It's sin. I know I just turned some of you off right there. Like, whoa. I don't have a problem with sin. Well, you're the one I'm talking to this morning. Right? Our pastor used to say there's two reasons you ought to come to the altar. Number one, because God's dealing with you. Number two, because He's not dealing with you. Come down and find out why. Amen. We all need revival. We all need to come and to purge ourselves of these sins that have crept into our lives. And by the way, I think sometimes there's sin in our life that for a man that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I believe until sometimes we need to see our sin afresh and anew in our life, because sometimes there can be sin that comes into our life and we neglect it and it becomes a parasite that attaches itself to our life and we go on not even knowing that we have it in our life. So today I hope through the Word of God we can reveal some things and hopefully in all of our lives. By the way, I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. I don't like dealing with sin as much as anybody. But you know what? I know it is a necessity of the Christian's life to unload your sin. Because you know why Christ said, bring it to me. I was singing a song the other day. I don't know if I was in a car at the house. And I was thinking how we sing hymn songs and we really don't mean them. You know, I surrender some is really what we should say. Some to Jesus I surrender. That's what I mean. You know, just as I want to be, I come, right? But there was one I was singing the other day. Take your burdens to the Lord and reel them in. That's what we do, right? Take your burdens to the Lord and reel them in. Reel them in, reel them in. Take your burdens to the Lord and reel them in. I know that you will doubt, and He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and reel them in. I was singing that the other day. I was like, that's what we do. That's what I do. I'm like, Lord, would You please help me with this? Why is He not helping me? We all do that, don't we? And we're going to see some things through the Scripture today. I hope that it'll be a blessing because, listen, we need change in our lives. And Dr. Seiler said this a few years ago. He said, what is revival? It's when God comes to you and you offer no resistance. When God comes to you and you offer no resistance. By the way, God comes to us a lot of times we go, I'm a little uncomfortable. It's kind of like when you get seated in that recliner at the dentist office. That I don't like them messing with my teeth, but the end result's better, right? Sometimes. Give me the gas. We'll all be happy together. Right? Give me the shot, give me the gas, whatever it takes. Let me ask you this morning. If a robber was to come into your house and your family was there as a father, let's just say your father this morning, and a robber comes into your house and your family's there and he comes to do harm to you, would you say, "Well, welcome, glad you're here"? I don't think anybody in their right mind would do that, right? You're in the South, or somewhat the South. I'm from the true South. Florida's Southern. That's South. But what would you do? I know what Brother Shuler would do. You would hear 4th of July fireworks go off. Right? We don't welcome robbers in our house, but let me ask you this. Why do we allow sin into our homes? Because I'm telling you, it'll do a lot of hurt in your home also. Why do we allow sin to come into our life and do the hurt that it does? There's families here today that are a result of sin. There's broken homes. There's broken families. There's kids without fathers today because sin entered into the home. Listen, there's moms today that don't have their kids because sin entered into their house. Sin entered into their kids and now their kids are so wayward. Listen, it's time we get back to the old-fashioned altar and lay our burdens there and lay our sin there. And because God said He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why in the world would you not let Him cleanse you this morning? I want you to notice three things in these few verses, verses 1 through 9. Number one, I want you to notice the appeal for mercy. The appeal for mercy. Now, I want you to notice this. He says in verse 1, He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God. According," and He's going to say "according" twice, "to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude." I love this. By the way, multitude means many. But notice what He says. He says, "according to, unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies," plural, "blot out my transgression." Here we see David's appeal. Now, I want to take you back and we'll look at, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but we're going to look at 2 Samuel 11 to 12, because in chapter 11 and chapter 12, we see the sin of David. We see why he is repenting. We have that story in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and chapter 12. We see that he is supposed to go off to battle as king, but yet he stays behind and he sees Bathsheba in her nakedness and he lusts after her and he says, "I want her." And so he goes about to accomplish that which the eye has seen. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I get you every time. So the lust of the flesh kicks in David's life. And David pursues Bathsheba. And he goes and he has his time with her. And then he realizes that Uriah, her husband, is in the way. David goes and sends Uriah into battle and has him killed. Then David does something that's unthinkable. He covers it all up, or tries to cover it all up. And David is living in the mess, or in the cesspool of sin, because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He did not resist the flesh, and he sinned with this woman that was not his wife. And then to cover it up, he killed her husband and tried to cover it up. You say, "We're reading a story about this guy." Yeah, we're reading the end result of it. See, God forgives. You see, if God will deal with, if He'll forgive an adulteress, murderer, and cover up, He'll forgive us. I hope to God there's nobody here that's murdered anybody. If you have, don't tell me. That's not what we want you to come to the altar and say, "I just murdered two people this weekend." Because I'll show you how fast I can run to Brother Shuler again. But the Bible says, if you thought it, you've done it. Maybe we outwardly have not had an adulterous affair, but maybe we thought it. Maybe we've not killed anybody physically, but I'm telling you what, with Michael Wiggins' mind, I've strangled a lot of people. They're usually on 35. It either involves strangulation or a missile. One or the other. And by the way, all of us are guilty for putting Christ on the cross, because it was your sins that put Him on the cross. And see, if God can forgive that, then can I tell you there's nothing in your life this morning that He cannot forgive? David comes to the Lord and he appeals for mercy. He is appealing the Lord God for mercy. And here's what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, "Men are greatly terrified at the multitude of their sins. But here is a comfort. Our God hath multitude of mercies. If our sin be in number as the hair on our head, God's mercies are as the stars of heaven. That's what Spurgeon said. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you come to God and you appeal for His mercy, which mercy means God not giving us what we deserve. That means here's what should have happened to all of us. You're born, boom, you're dead. You say, that's cruel. That's what we deserve because we were... Remember what David said? I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. David understood that he was a sinner from birth. All of us are. Now, look on down. Let me read this to you. Psalm 40, verse 11 says this, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. That's what David was saying again. Matter of fact, you ought to study out tender mercies in the Psalms. I think it's in there about 12 times. It's amazing how it's always attributed to David speaking. Because if anybody understood the mercy of God and the grace of God, it was David. See, I believe we have to come this morning in order to get on the road to revival and appeal for mercy from God. Going to God and asking Him to withhold His judgment from us and to give us grace in order to serve Him. You see, I have an illustration. I borrow these from Brother Latta. Brother Latta is the ultimate illustrator. Me, all I have is a backpack. Backpack, backpack. Some of y'all know that song. In this backpack are stones. I'm going to try. I was skinny last time I wore this. As I used it as an illustration. Well, that hurts. Oh. Let's just put it on one arm. You know what I figured out in life? I know y'all never hear this story from the pulpit, but I used to be skinny. And as you put weight on, you know, you really don't recognize it. You know why? Because it's a gradual thing, right? One day I woke up and I was like, whoa. Is that a fake mirror? Because I didn't have this. Right? One day you wake up and you're like, man, this is not me, but I'm using this as a, I went from a 32 to a 40 pants. Wow. It was a gradual thing, right? You see what sin does for us? It's gradual. Nobody just jumps off the deep end. You see, this backpack has stones in it. I'll show you a few here in a minute. And see, right now, it's already bothering my shoulder. But you know what? Most people that don't have no sense, they work out with these weighted vests. Why do you want to do that? You say, well, once you wear that vest, then when you take it off, you feel lighter. What if you never wear it? Then you feel lighter all the time. It's kind of like saying, I stabbed myself in the arm so I would know what it feel like not to hurt. I'm picking on y'all. My wife does that, so... But here's the thing is that the reason I remember as a kid that me and my dad used to jog all the time. And my dad used to put those, y'all remember those sandbags you Velcro to your leg? Those were like the hippest thing back in the 90s, right? Or 80s. 80s, yeah. But we used to run with those things on our feet, me and my dad. And we would run because it built muscle. But also when you took it off, you felt like you was on an escalator. You know? You take those things off, you felt like you're on an escalator. My shoes untied. But here's the thing, is that the reason we wore those is because when you take them off, yeah, it builds muscle, but also it lets you feel like you're lighter. See, some of you have never felt light, spiritually speaking, in your life because you're too busy carrying around your sin. And yet there's a holy God in heaven that says, give it to me. He says, bring it to an old-fashioned altar and ask for forgiveness. Peel for mercy and say, God, please forgive me. Can I tell you that I've had people tell me this, preacher, I didn't know how much joy I could have had. I didn't know how much lighter I would have felt in life if I'd just got rid of all my sin. You see, sometimes this is the way our life is. There really are rocks in here. These are from Burnet, Texas. That's how long I've had these things. I wrote different things on there for another illustration, so I'll show y'all this. You see, the problem with us and me is that we're like, Lord, here you go. I'm done with this one. right? Or we'll do this. Let's see if I can pull out a good one here. Stress. We'll say, Lord, I'm done with that. Just happen to have an extra. Hello? I don't know about you. I've had this backpack for about 8 years now. And these have been sitting in there. I don't miss not holding those. Listen, I mean, we can come up here and we can lay all of our sin at Jesus' feet. And He says He's faithful and just to forgive us. And can I promise you, He will forgive you. And He will wipe you just as clean as David said. He said, notice verse 9, He said, hide thy face from my sin and blot out my iniquities. Here's David. He is appealing God for mercy. Let me give you the second thing. Notice his acknowledgement of sin. If we want to see revival, listen, if we want to see revival, we have to not only appeal God for mercy and find His grace is all complete, is all that we need, but the second thing is that we have to acknowledge our sin. Notice, if you will, in verse 3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before." You know the problem that me and you have? She made me do it. He made me do it. Look, I know that I'm not living right, but I promise you, I'm living better than them. Is that not what we do? By the way, don't ever say this to me, because I'll roll my eyes inwardly at you. Preacher, I know this is not right, but don't tell us. Just don't tell me. Don't tell Pastor Crawford. I know it's not right, but I murdered somebody. Now that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But listen, and that's what happens in our life. But preacher, let me tell you that it's not that bad. You know what happened to David? He said, "My sin is ever before me." He said, "Lord, those are my sins." It wasn't Bathsheba's fault. It wasn't Uriah's fault. It wasn't my mighty men's fault. It was David's fault. And until we as sinners get to the point of our life where it is Michael Wiggins' fault, this is the result of Michael Wiggins. This is the result of whoever you are this morning, and acknowledge your sin. And notice that it's your sin. You cause that sin. That we're enticed and drawn away of our own lust, the Bible says. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you can lie and say, we have no sin. But the Bible says, but you're a liar. Because we all have sin in our life. And it's a daily thing that Michael Wiggins has to get up in the morning and appeal for mercy and acknowledge my sin and ask God to forgive me every day in my life. You let one day go, and boy, that bag's going to get heavier. Boy, you're going to look like me. Muscular. Oh, sorry, that's another mirror I have. But inwardly, you're going to be spiritually dead. You're going to be where... By the way, Lord just gave this to me. If I'm carrying around this load, how in the world am I going to help somebody else bear their burdens? By the way, if you're carrying around all of these sin in your life, and you have all of this in your life, you are of no use to anybody else. And how in the world, the Bible says, your sin has separated you and God? How is God going to use your life if you're carrying this around? How can God say, I need you to go to the mission field? Not with this, you're not. Lord, I need you to go to your neighbor and tell them about Jesus. Not with this, you're not. I need my marriage to be fixed. Not with that, you're not. I need my kids to be raised upright. Not with that, you're not. I'm going to tell you what, I empty this bag out every day of my life. And sometimes it doesn't take long to put those stones back in there. I got to go back again. Some people just get wore out and they give up. Don't ever give up. You say, how many times is He going to forgive me? 70 times 70. You say, how much is that? That just means eternally. By the way, God knew how much you would sin. And God knew how much He would forgive you. We need to acknowledge our sin. David said, my sin is ever before me. The conviction that was on his heart. How do we get conviction in our life? Number one, by the Word of God. The Word of God convicts us. That's why whenever we're in sin, we don't want to read this. By the way, you show me somebody that doesn't read this, I'll show you somebody who has a bag full. Hello? You ever been to the horse stall? And you don't clean it out? Woo! A lot of fertilizer in there. Right? We used to live right in front of a rodeo arena and horse stall, so my job was to clean out the horse pens. Yeehaw. They wouldn't let me trust me with nothing else. But they trust me with that little shovel. We called it a scooper. I'd go in there, bring the wheelbarrow to the door. That was back before they had them mules and all that stuff. I was a mule back then. And you put all that manure into that. Go take it, fill it up, dump it. Had a place out back, we dumped it. And it seems like in there, I think there was probably about 20 stalls in there, and I'd make my rounds by the time I got back to it. Guess what? That dumb horse. Can't you go outside? Did it again. It was job security for me. I kept feeding them. They kept producing my job. Right? Hallelujah. In our life, it's the same way. We keep sinning, clean, sin, clean, sin, clean, sin. You say, do we ever? Nope, you don't get to perfection until you get to heaven. Now, the cycle should slow down the more mature you get in Christ. Amen. I don't have to spend quite as much time because the more spiritually I grow in Christ, the more I see sin quicklier. Quicklier, that's a word. I see it quicker than ever before, and I resist it. Resist the devil, he'll flee from me. We know that verse, but the Bible also makes it plain that we ought to resist. We ought to resist evil. We ought to resist the sin that tries to creep into our lives. The second way you acknowledge your sin, not only by the Word of God, but also by the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in John 16:8, it says, "And when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will reprove the world of righteousness." Of sin, a world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. That was why He came, to reprove us of sin, to show us that we are sinners. Matter of fact, David says later on, he says, "Lord, don't remove Your Holy Spirit from me." He didn't even have the concept of the eternal dwelling of the Holy Spirit, but he understood the Holy Spirit in his life and understood that through that Holy Spirit and through the law, through the Word of God, that it was through those things that he came and he saw and he acknowledged his sin. Folks, today I'm telling you the first step. By the way, you know, there's always those like 12-step programs, you know. We always make fun of them because you always see them. They're like, "Hello, my name's Michael Wiggins. I'm addicted to candy." Oh, welcome, Michael. They say the first thing in recognizing if you're alcoholic, drug addict, whatever, is to acknowledge that you are one. Well, that's deep because God already said that. By the way, all those things are just sin, forms of sin. And until we acknowledge that they are sin, you know what happens when we acknowledge sin? We have compassion on other people. When we don't acknowledge our sin, we tend to judge ourselves by other people. Well, there they go down to that altar again. I know they needed to go down there. Boy, I'm glad to see them get right with God. Amen. Well, they really need to come to church on Sunday nights too, because I see their Facebook post. By the way, we don't have to guess about people's sins anymore. All you got to do is be a member of Facebook. It's like, "Here, I'm happy sinning. Watch. Take a selfie of me sinning. Here, hope everybody in church sees this." What? Where are we at in the world today when people are proud of it and posting it on the internet? At least Christians back in those days used to be good liars. At least try to cover it up a little bit. And then, I'll tell you what gets me. I know I'm meddling now, but that's all right. Pastor will be back next week. But it's when people make comments underneath it. "I'm so proud of you." Why? They're not at church and they're at some doing. And you're going, So proud of you. Congratulations. Hello? Until we get to the point where we say, I am a sinner. By the way, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you've never trusted in Christ, the first step is to realize that you are a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. And you realize it is not the sin of the Jews. It's not the sin of these people. It's not the sin of my mother. It is the sin of Michael Wiggins that will stop me from going to heaven. It's me. And then the last thing. I believe this is the crutch here this morning. We see this in the Scripture. The third thing, we see the abandonment of sin. If you want to get on the road of revival, appeal for mercy because you acknowledge your sin. But here's the thing is that the third thing is the abandonment of that sin. You see, I was kind of poking fun a little bit, but sometimes it is so true that we think that getting rid of sin is an Easter egg hunt. I'll go put them out. There's that one. There's that one. Oh man, I sure did like this rock here though. Oh man, I don't know if I can get rid of this one either. This rock means so much to me. Man, why am I struggling again? Man, why am I... Oh, goodness, I'm struggling again. You put it back in there. Jesus said that He's willing to take it and cast it as far as the east is from the west and put it in the depths of the sea to never be remembered again. And you're walking around with a shovel in your hand. What God buries, you shouldn't try to dig up. He's buried it underneath the crimson flow, and yet we come around with a shovel and say, well, I kind of like that sin. Listen, we have to acknowledge it, but we also have to abandon it. I have never met one sin that was ever good to me spiritually. That's deep. I have never had one sin that I said, man, spiritually, that really helped me. Not one. But I can tell you some sin in my life. Every sin that has crept into Michael Williams' life has hurt me spiritually and has weighed me down in my walk with the Lord. You see, sometimes we don't realize how good we would feel if we just let that backpack off of sin. I've had people tell me, you know, I've been dealing with this sickness forever, and I finally went to the doctor, and they helped me with it, or had surgery, and they said, I forgot how good I really felt. You see, sometimes in life, we don't realize what sin is actually doing to us. You ever watch these sharks? Hopefully on TV. But they have these little things that suck themselves to it. They hitch a ride. It's like Uber service for under the sea. And They hook themselves to it, but also there's parasites that attach themselves to these sharks and other animals under the sea. And it is said that if you watch some of this stuff, is that they don't realize the toxins that are in some of these parasites until the shark slows down. The shark begins to have this problem and this problem, or this animal, not just sharks, but other animals. They don't realize. Our home pastor in Florida, he had 44 ticks on him. He lives in Georgia now. Well, he ended up with Lyme disease. He's not doing good at all. He's walking with a walker. And I was talking to my cousin, which is his son-in-law, and he said, you know, every day he'd go out there and he works outside a lot, and he said he'd go out there and he said he'd scrape those ticks off of him. He says, but they get back on there and hide in places. And he said until it got so bad that he couldn't walk, he was having blurred vision. And so they rushed him to the emergency room and found out he had Lyme's disease because he allowed the ticks to stay on too long. Now, spiritually speaking, sometimes we allow sin to stay in our life too long. And it affects who we are. You know what breaks my heart as a preacher? Is to see church members who once were faithful, serving the Lord, but they allowed sin to come into their life. And they do this. Hello? Don't be that one. Don't be that one that you allow sin into your life and it wrecks and destroys you, your marriage, your kids. Listen, All this would be bad preaching if there wasn't a remedy for it, right? But see, Jesus this morning says, come. Come to me. And I'll forgive you. You see, there's times that I've gone to my wife and I said, honey, would you forgive me? There was a couple weeks ago I had to ask Brody to forgive me because he was being bad. And then Daddy was bad. Daddy may have talked to him in a way he shouldn't have talked to him. And I said, Brody, would you forgive Daddy? And I gave him $20, not telling anybody. And of course, he just looks at me. I don't know if he knew what I was talking about, but God knew. I whispered it real light. I said, would you forgive me? But you know what? I've learned this in marriage and in raising kids. Even though I ask them to forgive me, they don't forget it. Same with me, right? We think we do. But when you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, would you forgive me? Appeal for mercy, right? We're appealing for that mercy. God, please forgive me. And we acknowledge our sin, but the problem that we have is the abandonment. It's saying, Lord, take my sin and cover it with the blood of Christ. And Lord, I'm going to get up and I'm going to serve you the best I know how. And Lord, when I fall again, I'm going to come back to you and appeal for mercy. And guess what God will do? He'll forgive you again. Listen to me this morning. There's none of us here this morning who is without sin. Remember what Jesus said when he took with the woman at well? He said, ye without sin cast the first stone. Nobody could cast the first stone. Why? Because there's none without sin. Because we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We must come to Him and ask for forgiveness, but we must go in abandonment to our sin. By the way, what's amazing about David's life in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, you know the verse. The New Testament tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. How did that happen? Because David asked for forgiveness and he abandoned that sin. By the way, just because you ask for forgiveness, sometimes the effects of that sin may carry on. And it did in David's life through his family. Absalom and all those things that happened there. Listen, sometimes those ripple effects are going to continue. But listen, if you got it under the blood, if you got it forgiven, you abandon that and you go on and you give glory to God each and every day of your life. If we're going to have revival, we've got to get rid of sin. Listen, all of us deal with sin. It's not like I'm preaching to a couple of you today that are sinners. We're all sinners, right? We all deal with sin. Whether your sin is this or whether your sin's that, it doesn't matter. We're all sinners. David came to the Lord and said, I appeal for mercy. But then he said, Lord, I acknowledge my sin. You know the problem in the Garden of Eden? When the Lord came to Adam. Adam, where art thou?
You won't see us. Just stay still.
He knew where they were at. Adam, I'm paraphrasing. Why'd you sin? Because of that woman. It was her fault. She took it. Notice what God does throughout the rest of the Bible? He holds the man accountable. You know why? Because we are all accountable for our sins. We can't say, well, Brother Tim Abrams made me do that. And he does make us sin. Every morning when he brings those stupid donuts in. I fight it. I get done with choir and I walk past that room and victory is lost. Somehow that chocolate donut ends up in my hand. I go to my office to eat it and I'm like, oh God, please forgive me. But such is true with spiritual sin in our life. It's not Brother Tim's fault. It's like saying that guns kill people. Guns kill people. Guns don't kill people. They're moral. It's people that kill people. It's people that choose a device to hurt others with. But in sin, that device, that sin in your life doesn't just hurt others, it hurts you. And it hinders you. If we want a revival this morning, listen, I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here to tell you the truth, that sin will hinder us from having revival next week. And unless you, whether right there at your pew or at this altar, we come and we all are guilty. Don't look at these people coming down the aisle here in a minute and go, we know what's going on in their life. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know. You know what's sad is that most people come down to the altar prayer probably praying for you. All of us need to come and say, Lord, I want to get rid of this sin. Appeal for mercy. Acknowledge your sin and then abandon that sin. And let's walk away out of here saying, you know what? I'm leaving it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Don't be like my other song, Reel Them In, Reel Them In. Don't walk back to your pew and say, boy, I'm done with that sin. And you go to your house today and you're... Right? Let the Lord have it. Let's stand this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Brother Tim is going to come and lead us an invitation here in just a moment. But every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I just want to beg you this morning that Christ stands ready for you to come and accept Him as your Savior this morning. He is the only way. You say, how do I get saved? Well, you got to acknowledge your sin, that you are a sinner, and that Christ came to die for you. But this morning, if you're here to, and you're a Christian, you know the Lord is your Savior, is there sin in your life? Maybe there's some sin in your life you've not dealt with in a long time. It'll make you callous and cold. This morning, just come and lay it at the altar. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you just need to come and ask the Lord afresh and anew to forgive you. Father, we love you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, that you said your mercies are new every morning. Father, we need that this morning. We need you to come and, Lord, just speak to our hearts. Lord, deal with hearts as you see fit. Lord, I love you. I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.